This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
You're not excited. God will definitely surprise His church in 2019. You know, one of the things that Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians church in Philippians 1, 12 to 18, he was looking at what was happening. He was looking at how people were preaching the gospel, how people were actually misinterpreting him, how people were, they were false prophets, they were false teachers. And he was actually saying to the church in Philippians 1, 15, he says this. He says, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife. Some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. It's quite interesting. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for your word, oh God, because your word is true. Your word can never be broken. I want to thank you because the entrance of your word, oh God, brings light. And I pray today that as I speak your word, let there be illumination in our hearts. Father, let your word, oh God, grow in this church and in this vicinity, and let it become powerful. Because your word is powerful, it's alive, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Let your word divide between bone and marrow, oh God, and bring us to the place of maturity in 2019. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, please have your way in this place as we share your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You see, this was Paul's letter written to the Philippian church after he came out of prison. Okay? Paul knew that there were those who were preaching to build their own reputation. He knew there were those who were building for themselves, building a kingdom for themselves. He knew they were just trying to make a name for themselves. But Paul was not perturbed by this. You see, why am I sharing this? Because sometimes we can lose focus and focus so much on those who are preaching the wrong thing. We can lose focus so much, and that's the ploy of the enemy, to make us lose focus and begin to look at, oh, this church is not doing the right thing. That church is not doing the right thing. But Paul was so focused, and he said, it doesn't really matter whether they preach it for gain, but as long as Christ is preached. You see, it is not our place to judge people, because anybody can stand and start a church and begin to preach, and people can say, oh, they're doing it because of money. It is not our place. But where God has positioned us, He wants us to rule and reign in that place. Amen. I thank God for 2019, because I've gone back to God and I begin to say, Lord, help me, because I focus too much on other people and not on what you have called me to. Jesus says, my will or my meat is to do the will of the Father. I will not be distracted. And I want to say to us, church, in 2019, please do not be distracted. Know what God has called you to. The enemy is good at distracting. You know, that's why the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. You know, the truth about a roaring lion is that he does not devour you, but he roars so that you run away. But when you confront him, he stops. Amen. And so what I want to say to us in 2019 is, let's not be distracted. Let's not be perturbed. Amen. When you look around you, more and more people want to avoid the church. Many people give you reasons why they cannot come to church or why they do not want to believe in Jesus. You look around you and you see what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Philippian church. And we can become resentful and disillusioned because of what we're seeing or because of what people are saying. Even in your offices, when you present Christ, people don't want it. They want something else. And we can become pained. But I want to say to you today, don't be pained. I want to say to you today, don't be resentful. I want to say to you today that greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. But like Reverend Chris Cartwright was saying, it is how we position ourselves in 2019. Amen. I want to share some things with you this morning. And I'm going to go deep. I'm going to speak about the things we see happening in the society. Today in the society, with Brexit fallout, many politicians, so many people are not sure of what's going to happen. Will there be a deal, or there will there be no deal? People are hoarding food and everything. But I remember a group of people who were in Egypt. The Bible says when there was darkness in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. You are in Goshen because you're God's people. I want to say to you, whether it's no deal or it's a deal, it will not affect you. You've got to know that, people of God. Please hear my heart. Because God wants us to stand firm in our faith. God wants us to stand and let people know that those who trust in their God will never, never be let down. You may have gone through instances where it's like you feel let down, but I want to encourage you today. Look up to your God, because he is still on the throne. There seems to be confusion in the world today more than ever before. Yet the scripture in Philippians 1:27 says this. And this is Paul continuing with his message to the Philippians church. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Amen. So that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Ours is to strive for the faith of the gospel. Ours is not to get ourselves involved in some of the things that are going on in the society today. Some of us are... the church, we argue over this, we argue over that. But that is not for us. That is not for us. The one thing God has called us to is for the good news to be shared. Amen. And wherever we go, let people look at your life and say, I see something in this one. Do you know, I can call myself a Christian and preach. Oh, let me just quickly tell you a small one. In my early days as a Christian, when I first started working, I used to go to work with this big Bible so that everybody would see me that I'm a Christian. And I had one gentleman who was a menace to me and everyone else. And I remember when I sit down and I'm eating, this guy will come with his spoon. I'm eating my food. He comes with his spoon and puts his spoon in my food and eats it. And one day, I got angry. The next time you do that, I'll pour rice into your face. And he said, oh, he's a Christian. You get what I'm saying? And I learned that day that it wasn't the big Bible. It was how I conducted myself. Amen. How do you conduct yourself? Not just on a Sunday, but in church, at work. How do you conduct yourself in your home with your children? When my children see us argue, they go, you argue. I say, no, we're debating. But we're arguing. They've got to see. People have got to see your life in 2019 that you actually believe what you preach. Amen. It's not the big sermons. It is your life. We are a book that is being read by everyone. That's what Paul said in the book of Corinthians. Amen. And I want to say to us today, that the way we conduct our affairs, the way we deal with each other, makes a whole lot of a difference. Amen. Today, the world over, there are so many changes taking place. And as Christians, most of us are confused because we hear Christians taking stands with some of the things that is not biblical. But I want to quickly let you hear this, what Dr. John Lennox said. Dr. John Lennox of Oxford University says, we are called upon to defend the gospel. It is on trial. Faith is under fire. It is not only its contents, it is the messengers. So you are under fire. He says, and we will increasingly find we have not only to defend the gospel to the world, but we have to defend it to believers as well. Amen. But Paul is saying to us, when I come, I want to see you striving for the faith of the gospel. Amen. Dr. Lennox also says this. He says, the danger that I see is all around, is a loss of confidence in God's word and its authority. Let's be truthful, people of God. Today, church, Christians, believers are losing confidence in God's word. They're losing confidence in God's authority. But my question is this. Doesn't the Bible say that the word of God that has gone forth does not return to him void? Doesn't the Bible say in Hebrews 4, it says the word of God is powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Doesn't the word of God say to us that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Doesn't the word of God tell us that he still upholds the whole universe with the word of his mouth? I want us as a church to come back to that place where you don't trust me, you trust God. It has nothing to do with me. It's to do with his word. And this word will never fail. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says it's been tested 7 times through fire like silver. That's the word of God. Amen. He goes on to say we have to decide what side we are on. Whether we're going to stand with Paul and the apostles and have confidence in the word and maintain the faith for which many of our forefathers stood. Am I challenging someone today? Father, we just thank you. You see, what I want you to note, which is quite interesting, is that this will not be the first time Christianity has been under threat. But in all of this, God has always shown himself mighty by raising men and women who will stand their grounds until there is a change. Are you going to be that person? The early Christians were persecuted for their faith. And after a great miracle of healing, we see that the apostles, okay, were brought before the Sanhedrin and were told in Acts 4, 17 to 18, that the political system of that day did not want them to preach the gospel. Are you getting that today? Do you know that? Let me tell you this. There are things happening. There are people wanting the gospel, the Bible, to be changed so that it can actually say what they want to hear. And many of us believers are now writing our own scriptures so that it can suit us. But I want to say to you, people of God, please hear me. I'm not being flippant here. God is looking for a people again who will stand up and who will say, we know our God. Listen to what the disciples said to the Sanhedrin in Acts 4:17. He says, they said, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in the name of Jesus. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Amen. But you know what the disciples said? They said, it was more or less, check us out. Do we look like people who will obey you rather than obey God? I'm not asking you to go fight authority. No, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you and I to know the God we serve. Amen? Do you know Jesus said in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, he said, on that day, you will not need anybody to tell you what to say, but the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And do you know why we get to that point where the Holy Spirit tells us what to say? It's because we have learned to remain in the secret place of the Most High God. It's because we have learned to be a people who spend time with God. It's because we have learned to be a people who read the scriptures and we know what the scripture is saying. Amen. You know, also in the book of Daniel, we have the story of the three Hebrew boys. And when I was looking at this, when I was meditating on it, do you know sometimes disaster strikes? Okay? Disaster strikes. Just imagine an earthquake rocking a nation. Many people die. A tornado destroys a city, its treasures and everything. Young boys are stabbed and killed. And a mother cradles her son and weeps even as blood is coming out. And then that mother turns around and says, there's no God. Or where is God in all of this? And other people ask the same question, where is God in all of this? But you know, God doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. You get what I'm saying? It is for us to know that even in all of this, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And why am I using that illustration? Because I'm looking at these Hebrew boys who were taken from Jerusalem, who were taken into Babylon, and they're taken into Babylon. The more I thought about what they went through, I began to hear the Lord speak to my heart, and what the Lord was pointing me towards, there was no offense in them. There was no offense. Because how can you, their God, who does all these things, take them into slavery? Take them into a place of idolatry. But the Bible says that these four boys trusted God to the end. Even in slavery. Even in the place where every other person will say, why am I going through this? Where is God in all of this? They trusted God. Amen. Amen. They did not allow this disaster to determine their trust in God. Do you know that offense sometimes debar our blessings? Let me not say sometimes. Offense always debar our blessings. Offense make us lose sight of God's goodness because of what we're going through. And I read a scripture in Acts 24:16. Please indulge me. This was Paul again. Paul speaking to Felix, telling Felix what they have done to him, even with his preaching. They were lying. They were saying he did this, he did that. And Paul said, look, listen, you know me. I didn't do these things. But he said something which blessed me. Acts 24:16. He says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. I want to say to you in 2019, we must strive not to have offense. Because we'll be offended. You'll be offended in your workplace. You'll be offended by your family members. You'll be offended by the church. And things will happen that you will even feel that God has offended you. But Paul says, I do everything I can so that I'm not offended. He says, even what they're doing to me, I'm not offended. Amen. Who's offended in this place? I was. But since 2019, I'm saying, Lord, I will not be offended. Lord, I will not be offended. You know, the Bible says that these boys,
did not defile themselves. And I began to look at defilement. Jesus says, defilement is not based on what we eat. He says, but it is based on what's in our heart. And it's what is in our heart. It doesn't come out that way. It comes out this way. Are you getting me? And I want to beg you, people of God, in 2019, that whatever you do, say to yourself, I will not be offended. People will do things at work to offend you. They will do things in your community to offend you. People will not even remember the good things you've done for them. People will not even remember how you've helped them. I'm begging you, run to the cross and say, Jesus, I'm hurt. I am hurt. But I thank you because you forgave those who hurt you. Amen. Are you getting me? 2019, I see that these guys were not hurt. And Paul's saying, I strive. He's saying that I make a great effort. I fight vigorously. He's saying, I do everything within my power to have a conscience without offense towards God or men. And for us to be able to take a stance in 2019 concerning our faith, we must maintain a clear conscience without offense towards God and men. It has to be a decision that we're taking in 2019. You know, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, 16 to 18, to have been able to stand before Nebuchadnezzar and say to Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow down to your king, is because even in slavery, God's word was still in their hearts. Are you getting me? Many of us, when we go through the place of offense, a place of where we've been believing God for something and it does not happen, we get to that place where we try to demagnetize ourselves from the word of God. Listen, when I was a stage actor, you would cram so many script lines. And then, when you're about to do the next one, you try to demagnetize yourself. That means you try to clear your memory, okay, of the lines you had the first time and begin to fill yourself with new lines. It's not the same with the Word of God. Because you're going through challenges, do not demagnetize yourself of the Word of God. Do not make the Word of God of no effect. Because that's what's going to see you through 2019. Are you getting me? I love the word of God. Many of us love it, but we can get to that place where because of what we're going through, the word of God becomes of no significance to us anymore. Then we begin to look for help from everyone else. You get what I'm saying? And I want to encourage you that whether it's 24 years, whether it's 30 years, do not change your confession. Amen. Do not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to bow. He says, they said this. They said, even if God does not save us, we're still not going to bow. Do you know why they had that stance? Let's quickly look at scripture in Exodus 20, 35. Because what they did was because they've been people who studied the scripture. They knew what God has said to them in Exodus 20, 3 to 5. Where he says, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Can I say something to you? Do you know that if you read the Bible, you'll never see where it says that God is envious?
If you've seen it, tell me. Do you know that there's a big difference between envy and jealousy? Envy is when you desire something that does not belong to you. Jealousy is actually when you are protective of what belongs to you. Amen. So when you see a husband or a wife, when they say they're jealous about their wives, it's because they're protective over their wife. It's just that sometimes their emotion can be misdirected. And God's emotion is not misdirected. He loves his children. He loves us. And because he loves us, he does not want us to go with someone else. Are you getting what I'm saying? You ask yourself, before you marry a wife, those of you who are not married yet, or you want to marry a husband, and you hear that this person, no, I'll give you this scenario. Husband and wife, on the day of their wedding, they're standing and they say vow, and they ask the man, do you take this woman as your lawfully wedded wife? And he says, I do. Now they turn to the woman. As they're about asking the woman, the man whispers into the woman's ears, I just want to quickly tell you that 2 years ago, I came out of the army, but I am a war. So, in short, I'm a criminal. And the woman said, you're a criminal. He said, not that I'm really a criminal. It's just that when I came out, I did not sign out. I know they're looking for me. Hey, tell me, will this woman marry this man? Some will. But the fact is that we sometimes think we can play that game with God. Amen. But God is saying, I am jealous. Do not allow anything in this world to take my place in your life. You know, like Timmy said, it's not easy. But do you know what I thank God for? Everyone say grace. Grace. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk by what? Their flesh, but they're led by the Spirit. So what happens is those times when you're in that situation, when it's like you want to bow down to another God, the Holy Spirit says, son, this is what the Word of God says about this situation. And then the Holy Spirit builds you up from the inside because you read the Word, you spend time with him. So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit are what? The sons of God. If you want to stand firm in your faith in 2019, you've got to know that he's a jealous God and that you want to love him with all your heart and all your mind and all your might. Amen. They refuse to bow down. Amen. They refuse to because they know that their God is a jealous God. Amen. The most dangerous threat to Christianity today is within the church itself. It is sad to know that every day many Christians are playing down the truth of the scriptures. Time and effort are lost in some churches over infighting instead of uniting against the opposition. We debate, we argue. And this is what Paul was saying to them in the book of Philippians. He was saying to them, look, listen, be united. Because that's the only way we can fight the enemy. That's the only way we can win. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the interesting thing is that Jesus has already warned us of all these things. So it shouldn't come to us as a surprise. Amen. But one of the things I've noticed is that Many of those who have knelt down, many of those who have spread their, who have gone on their face and prayed when there are challenges and these thing, kind of things, God always brings victory. And that's why I'm excited about 2019, that God is going to surprise us as a church. It's not just this church. God is going to surprise the church. I believe in my heart that we're going to see many people come back to the Lord. I believe in my heart that we're going to see the miracles that Jesus spoke about when he said that the same work I do, you will do also because I go to my Father. I believe with all my heart. But you see, what he is waiting for are people who are going to take their stance and say, we're going to pray in God's glory. In the book of 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah receives a letter from Sennacherib, a devastating letter. And when I was preparing this, I said, I will say to most of you, whatever letter you've received, whatever it is, bad news or whatever, spread it before the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that he received this letter and he spread the letter before the Lord and he began to pray. And listen to his prayer, because he blessed me when I was reading it. Verse 14, he says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and he read it. And Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. What letter have you received? What letter? Spread it before the Lord. He says, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. You see, when people do things against you, they're doing it against the living God. Amen. And it is your place to bring them, bring the letter, bring whatever it is before the Lord and cry out to the God. Verse 20 says, then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you've prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. What did God say? I have what? I have what? I have what? Do you know why I've asked you to repeat it? If you ever think God does not hear your prayer, he does. He hears your prayer and he acts on your prayer. Amen. He acts on your prayer. Have you got a child, a son, or a daughter that is giving you headache? Spread the child, spread the name of the child before the Lord. Fall on your face and go, Lord, you can do it. You can do it. Have you got a child who's gone away from the Lord? Put his name down. Lord, that's my son. I remember sometimes I'll say son to God, God, that's my only son. And they'll say, oh, send him to Nigeria. Nigeria. The same God in Nigeria is the same God I serve here. Oh God, that's my son. God is concerned about everything. Is it your marriage? God, that's my marriage. Is it your work? God, my work. Sorry, I'm shouting like an African man now. I'm just getting excited. Are you getting me? Are you looking for a job? Amen. When I needed a job, I used to drive past this place that I knew I wanted to work in. When I drive past it, I would say, this is my workplace. This is my office. I'm going to talk on declaration, not today, how you can declare a thing and see it come to pass. I would drive and I would say, this is my workplace. This is my workplace. The number of times I've said to my son, you're a good boy. And he goes, no, I am not a good boy. And I said, you are a good boy. No, I am not a good boy. Father, he is a good boy. People
people of God. That's what Ezekiah was doing. He was saying, God, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? We see David do the same thing in 1 Samuel 17. When Goliath came, he said, who are you, O uncircumcised Philistine, that you should speak about my God? Now he said, oh, they sent me a child. He said, yes, you are so tall, I'm not going to miss you. But I'm short, you might not see me. I love short people. Because the Bible says, lo, I am with you always. You know, what I'm trying to say to you here, people of God, don't ever look at yourself as being small. People might see you as being small, but before God, you're a giant. The children of Israel went to spy the land, and they said, there are giants in the land. We cannot take it. Joshua and Caleb said, wait a minute, we can take this land. And everyone went, no, we can't take it. And God turned around and looked at them and said, these ones have a different spirit. Have you got a different spirit? Because people with a different spirit will take a stance and they'll say, whatever comes, I know whom I have believed in. That is able. Hallelujah. Say that he's able. Taking a stance is viewing the battle as being God's. And you are the victor as God gains victory. Amen. I will go to the battle, but I'm not the one fighting. God is the one fighting. He says, the Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. He says to the children of Israel in 2 Chronicles 20, he says, you will be observers in the battle. But God takes the glory. When David said, in you I trust, he meant it is done. Lord, you're perfect in nature. You do all things well. You have victory over all my enemies. Hallelujah. I want to encourage someone today that you and I must today look at what God had done in the past, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still going to do it. God is still going to do it. It might not be happening to you right now, but don't close the door of victory. Don't close the door of what God is going to do. Keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. Even when they threw those Hebrew boys into the fire, they still trusted God. It says, when you go through the fires, I'll be with you. When you go through the waters, I'll be with you. I don't know what you're going through you went through in 2018. I want to say to you in 2019, bring it to the cross. Are you believing God for a life partner in 2019? It is possible. 2019 is possible for you. Hey, stand before God and say, Lord, I have kept myself. And I know that you have prepared someone for me. Are you getting me? Yesterday, we were having a lovely time. And we were all just talking about how we met our spouses. There was a family, our family. And we were just talking. And one of my Falaka's nieces said something that I'll never forget. She said, when she went to an encounter, she began to pray and say, God, tell me who I am to marry. And then God said, remove that ring from your hand. And this was a ring that someone had given to her. It wasn't an engagement ring. It wasn't anything. It was just a ring. God said, remove that ring. And she removed the ring. And no, she did not. But she came to church, and my wife had a word for her. You know the voice of God. That was all my wife said. And she said it made it for her. That completed what she was waiting for. I want to say to you, the more you spend time in his presence, the more you seek his face in 2019. Reverend Chris Carter, I said, reposition yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. I have allowed too many people to do the work. Too many people have talked and said, oh, Roland, you didn't do this. Oh, Roland, you should have done this. Oh, Roland, da, 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 da. And I'm going, Some of us are like that. This person said, do this, and we go there. He says, do this, and he goes there, and it does not work. But I've discovered that when I stand that way, I say, Abba, Father, what are you saying about this? It's always a gentle voice that speaks to you. Sometimes you might not even hear it properly, but he still speaks because he hears your prayer. And I want to say to you, in 2019, you will stand strong. In 2019, you are an overcomer. In 2019, everything you lay your hands on shall prosper. I want to say to you that in 2019, you will fulfill your high calling in the name of Jesus. Abba, Father, thank you. Thank you. What is it that you're believing God for in 2019? Don't lose faith. Psalm 9, I think verse 10 says, those who know your name will put their trust in you because you will never forsake those who seek you. God will not forsake you in 2019. Hey, okay, these people, God will not forsake you in 2019. Whatsoever you lay your hands on in 2019 shall prosper. Okay, everybody now, okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? In 2019, open your mouth and talk. Lord. Not to man, but to God. Yes. Open your mouth and do what? And talk. Don't be on the phone to people and saying, oh, you heard what happened. No. God, hear my cry. I come to you because you're the only one who can meet me at the point of my need.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.